episode 16 of Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm here with Candace Jones. How's it, Candace?
Hey, Duncan.
So a big Cell C launch this week, I think it went off quite well. We now have more details on some of their contract and out-of-bundle data prices. What did you make of it?
Well, a little bit half-hearted, but not uncompetitive. Definitely competitive in terms of the bundles at the lower end. As you get the 100 megs and the 250 megs of data, pretty competitive in terms of price. But as you get to the higher levels, the 1 and 2 gigs of out-of-bundle data, it starts to sort of get a little bit less competitive.
Yeah, as you say, the entry-level prices are quite significantly below, certainly MTN and Vodacom. Simply more in line with what the prices were introduced by Telkom's new mobile operator, Ata. But they're certainly not the same sort of levels that we've seen in the introductory specials that they're still running, by the way, where you get where you pay $2,999 and get a 21 meg modem and 60 gigabytes of data for a year, or 5 gigabytes a month of data, which was an incredible offer. I suppose that was unsustainable, and the other guys have said that was going to be unsustainable.
True story. It was an entry level offer. I mean, an entry into the market offer, which is very competitive, compelling to get people on the network and getting data. And that's great. It's a good start. It's definitely not sustainable, but interesting to see that they have managed to keep the lower end data bundles still competitively priced.
Which... Yeah, and I think we'll see some reaction from Vodacom, and we have to see some reaction from Vodacom and MTN now on the smaller bundles on the low end of the market, which is actually great for consumers who haven't been in the broadband space, who haven't been unable to afford data in the past. I think it's going to get more South Africans on the internet, which is great news.
Absolutely. The one concern, though, is the price of the actual dongle. So the lower end of the market will have to use actual handsets. Although, having said that, the launch this week in Gauteng also represented the full countrywide launch, meaning that any Cell C user can now access the data packages from anywhere in the country, which is great news.
These bolt-on prices, just phone Cell C and get this data on your phone, which is fantastic. And I actually think that low end of the market, probably not going to be the market that's going to be buying dongles and plugging them into laptop computers and MacBooks and stuff. These guys are going to be using their phones to access the web.
True story. But it will be nice to see these dongles and preferably the lower end laptops also price driven down. It would be interesting to see if we can get those guys onto laptops and onto dongles in the future. So
yeah, I think that'll happen as time goes on, and some of the Chinese handset manufacturers start to really drive down the price of smartphones and the price of these tablets that come into market. Interestingly, I see in one of the newspapers this morning that Cell C seems to be the first to market with this new Samsung Android-based tablet computer. I think it's going to be quite an interesting battle over the next little while as the mobile operators compete with one another to bring those tablet devices into the market and hopefully bring them to the masses of South Africans.
Well, definitely a first mover advantage there for Cell C. An interesting choice of tablet. We were hoping to see a couple of others as well, but it's good to see, and I've heard very good things about the Samsung, so let's see how it works and how it goes. And pricing wise, very interesting pricing. I think it was $4.99 a month on contract with 500 megs of data. And 500 megs of data is not going to take you far on a tablet, unfortunately.
Yeah, interestingly, no one's. The Apple iPad was supposed to be here ages ago. I remember speaking to RJ Fitzbundle, the director at Core Group, which distributes Apple products in South Africa, and he was saying it's imminent and it's gone very quiet. I wonder what's happened.
That's a good question. It would be nice to see. I'm looking for one. Or maybe I'll try out the Samsung instead.
Or maybe just do what everyone else has done and go and buy one from the US.
Well, there is that.
Yes. I think Core Group must be tearing its hair out the fact that there's so many Apple iPads in use in this market and they haven't sold any of them. They're all coming in from overseas.
Oh, I'm not surprised. Us in South Africa, we wait so long to get these technologies, and it's a little bit disappointing that internationally they sort of ignore the African market. And
it's not all companies though. It's an Apple specific problem. I mean, if you look at Nokia or Samsung or these guys, they bring their latest technology here immediately. It's Apple. The African continent doesn't exist for them, it seems.
Which is silly, because we're such a great market, specifically for something like a tablet, because our mobile penetration is exceptionally high, and having something 3G enabled In the South African market, obviously the iPad isn't 3G enabled just yet, but you know, having that in the South African market in the African context is an excellent idea. I mean, people would use that.
Yes, yes. Well, yeah. Let's see what. In fact, I'll give Cor a call after this podcast and find out what's happening with the iPad and hopefully get something up on Tech Central. So look out for that. Well, moving on from Cell C, but staying with telecommunications, interesting conversation, interview I had with the new Minister of Communications last week, Roy Padiachi, where part of the discussion turned to Telkom and the issue of something called the golden share, the golden shares in Telkom. Just to provide a bit of a history to this issue, if we go back to March 2003, when Telkom was listed, government insisted on the preservation of these of what were two golden shares at the time in Telkom, which gave it and Telkom's foreign equity partner, Santana, which was made up of Telecom Malaysia and SBC Communications, now AT&T, the big American telecommunications group, gave them special rights over ordinary shareholders. The JSE was very unhappy about this at the time, but allowed it to go ahead ostensibly in the national interest. Now, there was a sunset clause associated with those golden shares. The shares, of course, gave government special rights, including the ability to appoint the chairman of the board of directors and other rights, which gave it a fairly significant amount of control over Telkom. Now, those rights, which are now held by government and its pension fund investment company, the PIC, the Public Investment Corporation. Those two golden shares are expiring on the 5th of March, 2011. Now, in my interview with Roy Padiachi, he made it very clear that government is not happy about the fact that that its special rights in the group are set to expire, and he's due to call an interministerial meeting in the next couple of weeks to discuss the issue and how they can extend their rights in Telkom. And this may, depending on what government does, lead to a showdown between government and the JSE, because the JSE, and I chatted to the JSE CEO, Russell Lobshaw, on the issue, has made it very clear that they are not going to tolerate any attempt by government to extend these special rights and give them additional special rights over ordinary shareholders. The JSE, in fact, has been actively trying to discourage this sort of practice. In the past, we always saw these things on the JSE called N-shares, which gave directors of companies special rights over ordinary shareholders, and the JSE is really frowning upon this. And Russell Lepsch has indicated that any attempt to extend government's special rights over ordinary shareholders will be fought. So it's going to be an interesting little battle, if depending on what government decides to do on this issue.
It will definitely be. I'm sure that they're very worried about losing that share. It does give them exceptionally special control over Telkom, which, you know, it used for a long time was a utility, and you know, it's a little bit scary that they are looking to push this.
Yeah, what's scary for me is that best practice in other markets in the world, and you know, in any of the sort of fast developing markets, the move is away from trying to control the incumbent telecommunications operator towards full privatization. In fact, the ITU itself, the International Telecommunications Union, part of the United Nations, is really pushing developing countries to divest of their incumbent fixed line operators and promote competition and get out of the market. And I think that's absolutely the right approach. That's the best way of delivering services, including services to rural areas. But unfortunately, our government seems to have taken the opposite view, and they seem to believe that they need to retain a stake in Telkom if they're going to deliver services to the rural poor. I don't think that's the right approach.
Well, I also think that the Telkom has also been particularly lucrative for government, so it's hard for them to let go of that at the end of the day when money is going into treasury.
Yeah, for sure. Big dividends. Well, the dividends are actually getting less and less. As competition starts to bite, we're starting to see Telkom start to take a bit of pain. I mean, their African forays have been a bit of a disaster, especially their venture into multilinks in Nigeria. But at home, they're also facing massive competitive pressures, and that dividend flow to government is not going to be there forever. It's going to get less and less as time goes on, as those profit margins of Telkom come under inevitable pressure as the market becomes more competitive. If they were really smart, they would divest of that stake now. And you know, if they want to use that money to invest in building telecoms in rural areas, sell Telkom, use the proceeds of the sale of Telkom and put it into some sort of universal access fund or find some other way of spending it to get that capacity out into the rural areas.
Well, that's so, just it. The ANC already is looking at trying to give money to existing operators to incentivize them to do, you know, a rural area rollout. So I agree. I think taking the money, selling telecom, taking the money and putting that somewhere to incentivize operators to actually go out there and do it is great. And I spoke to Dennis Smith this week, a well-known telecoms analyst, who says that what's needed now to get broadband and to get a voice telephony, high-quality voice telephony out into the rural areas is a public-private partnership. And an incentivizing the mobile operators and the fixed-line operators to go out into those areas and do it is a great way to start.
Absolutely. Create some sort of fund and make it competitive. Give them incentives to go out to these areas, and the guys who can do it cheapest or who can deliver the most services, give the money to them, make it some sort of competitive bidding process. And I think, and the other company we saw being launched this week, you know, with other network being launched this week, apart from Cell C's network here in Gauteng, was Broadband Infraco, another state-owned company. Quite arguably, and in fact, I made this point in a recent column, government should consider selling Broadband Infraco as well, given the competitive nature of the market and given that the CEO of their company has warned that they could find themselves in a difficult position if national bandwidth prices continue to fall. Sell Broadband Infraco, there'd be plenty of willing buyers for it to take that money and, again, make use of it to deploy technology and communications in rural services through some sort of system. I think there needs to be a debate about how, first of all, the money that's already in the Universal Service Fund that's administered by the Universal Service and Access Agency of South Africa be spent, and, you know, create the proper structure and channel it through SASA, and let's actually get some stuff done instead of, you know, getting bogged down in frankly discredited ideology about why the state should be involved in competing with private sector operators.
Absolutely. I think that financial boost coupled with the fire up the bum in terms of getting spectrum allocations in the 2.6 and 3.5 gigahertz bands, these are for mobile wireless broadband, that would really culminate in great opportunity in the rural areas for broadband rollout.
Yeah, I think there's time for a national debate on this issue. What is the role of Centec? What is the role of InfraCo? What is the role of Telkom? And how can these investments be maximized to really deliver what the ANC and what the government say they want to achieve, which is bridging the digital divide? Right now, it's not happening.
Rumor has it that there is a document that does stipulate all of this information, supposedly called the broadband policy, which was being developed by the Department of Communications while still under the leadership of the now former minister, Sipiwe Nyanda. There was talk about this policy being developed, and which would explain exactly where Centec fits in, exactly where Broadband Co fits in, exactly how municipalities and the regional governments will fit in terms of broadband rollout. But that document seems to have gone to ground. No one knows if it still exists.
Is it
or
the
not.
Broadband policy document or the broadband strategy document?
Sorry, the broadband strategy document.
Because the broadband policy document's already been published.
Yes, that
but that didn't really say very much. It
no.
just had a bunch of definitions in it, what broadband is, and such as broadband is a minimum access line speed of 256 kilobits per second, which quite frankly is not broadband.
Not in my terms, but that is an ITU definition. So, but yeah, the broadband strategy document is supposed to be coupled with the broadband policy document, and that was supposed to, you know, really give a good boost to the South African broadband market. But we don't know where that document is, and then hopefully we'll hear soon about where and how we can see all of these things fit together.
Yeah, well, with the regular changes in the Department of Communications and the fact that there has been a change at the top there, I think there may be a little delay on when we see that document and how the new minister regards this whole issue. So there's going to have to be a review of it, I'm sure. I'm sure the new minister's thinking will be a little different from the previous minister. So
quite possibly.
So, I wouldn't count on that broadband strategy document being released this year, but certainly government needs to give some serious thought to how it's going to address these issues, and maybe it actually needs to be more, consult with the industry a little bit more. I don't think there's perhaps been enough consultation with the operators and with other industry players about how these issues can be addressed. I think so far there's tended to be an approach from government that government needs to try and get involved and do these things, which I don't think is necessarily the right approach.
Well, absolutely, but I agree with you, Duncan. I think it's definitely time for national debate. Definitely time to get these issues out on the table and actually thrashed out properly.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Roy Padiachi, the new communications minister, has shown himself to be very open in the past, and has certainly committed himself since his appointment in office to be open and consultative. So maybe it's time. I know there are too many of these things, but maybe on this particular issue, there's time. There needs to be some sort of a high-level broadband summit to thrash out these issues once and for all.
Well, he tried once before, but hopefully we can get it out again.
Yeah, well, he had the pricing colloquium back in, when was it, 2004, 2005, when he first was appointed as deputy minister under Ivy Matsepe-Kasaburi, but the late and former minister made it quite abundantly clear that she didn't like the idea of the initiative that the deputy minister was taking at the time, and basically made the whole issue go away. But if there is another opportunity to discuss these things, and specifically around broadband, I think it should be welcomed, as long as it doesn't just turn into another talk shop that doesn't go anywhere.
Absolutely.
Well, staying with government and regulatory related matters, I see CASA has found some teeth, surprisingly, and has rejected the SABC's, or rather Sipiwe Nyanda and the Department of Communications proposal that there'd be a 1% tax on our income to fund the SABC, saying that this is unsustainable and that the money must be found by government and should not be an additional tax on South African taxpayers to pay for the SABC. And I think that's a very laudable approach from ICASA, and well done to them for taking on their political masters, even though ICASA is nominally independent. Well done to them for taking on their political masters and the former communications minister, Sipiwe Nyanda, on what really is a stupid proposal.
Absolutely. I, for one, would be infuriated if I had to pay yet more tax on my income than I already do. But we already pay license fees, although I understand that those were to be scrapped if this 1% tax came in. I'm not entirely sure on the legalities around that. But you know, 1% tax, it didn't work in Australia. It didn't work in the UK.
Did they do this in the UK?
They were attempting to do it, and I think that there's been a huge outcry from the public around it.
License fees in the UK are very high. I think they're in the region of £140 or £150 a year, which in South African terms, that's about £1,500 to £2,000 a year. Bear in mind that the purchasing power, the earning power of Britons is a lot higher than South Africans. Also bear in mind that they've got a wonderful public broadcaster in the BBC.
Well, absolutely, and the BBC is not allowed to make any income off advertising revenue.
That's right.
Not allowed to advertise at all.
That's
whereas
right.
The SABC maintains the bulk of South African advertising, and we also pay license fees. It's unprecedented in the world. Nowhere else in the world do you do both, where a public broadcaster is earning from both advertising and from license fees.
Yes, and producing shocking content. Let's be frank.
I mean, absolutely.
The quality of content on the SABC is really poor. If you want to be entertained, you're not going to be watching the SABC. You're going to have to get Top TV or get DSTV or some other commercial service, or watch ETV if you can't afford that.
Friday Action Night
and wrestling and well, it's what South Africans want, and that's why ETV is putting it on the air, I guess. Absolutely. I hope this public service broadcasting bill is taken back to the drawing board, because frankly, it just doesn't make sense at all.
Well, there are a couple of submissions that we'll be going through this week to see if a lot of community groups got together and presented at the oral hearings, which were held this week, and made significant arguments about why this is a bad idea. So hopefully the ministry will listen, and we shall see.
But talking about the BBC, I see more and more of their content is being made available on the web. I'm really chuffed. There's some really great content out there, and some of the great music and talk shows that they do in the UK are now available via the BBC website. They used to close the content off to UK listeners, but more and more they're opening up their content to a global audience, and some of it's really cool. I actually recommend getting that BBC iPlayer and checking out some of their shows, because it's free and it's online and it's pretty cool, especially if you've got an uncapped connection.
I remember when I actually first downloaded it to test it out to see what it was like. There was very little content, very little of it was available, and because our internet was so slow locally, it was, the buffering times were long. And now, you're right, absolutely, more and more of that content has become available, and some great stuff. I'm a personal fan of a very great series called Merlin, which was developed by the BBC, a nice new interesting take on the King Arthur story.
Is that a radio player?
No, it's video, but they do have audio content that comes along with it, which is awesome fun. So
I've been a big fan of, I'm a big fan, as you know, Candice, of rock music. And the BBC Six channel had a great show. Unfortunately, it ended recently with Bruce Dickinson And his show was fantastic. He's listened to that religiously on a weekly basis. But unfortunately, Bruce has decided not to do that show anymore. But yeah, there's some really great content out there, so it's worth checking out. On that note, we need to take a quick break. We will be back right after these commercial messages.
Welcome aboard Voxair Teleconferencing, where you can enjoy first-class service at a fraction of the cost, without the wait or the jet lag. Just an automated, hassle-free way to connect with people wherever they are, and all the legroom you need. It's like being there without the hassle of getting there. So why travel for business when you can simply teleconference? Call 01-0001-0001 or visit voxair.co.za. Voxair Teleconferencing, from Vox.
After the advent of the telephone, it took mankind 70 years to invent the color television. And yet, it only took the next 23 years to invent lasers, the internet, to put a man on the moon. Ignition sequence start. It begs the question, what will the business world be like in the next 23 years? Wherever your business is at, Telkom Business will be there with you. Telkom Business.
Virtual Access, ECN's latest cost-saving telecom service. Virtual Access is a single 0860 number, providing your customers with national access to your company, no matter how many branches you have or where your customers are calling from. If you are currently using or plan to use an 0860 number, you need to talk to ECN. Virtual Access is the best price single national number offering in the market. For more, visit ecntelecoms.com. ECN. Lowering the cost of doing business.
Welcome back to Talk Central, the business technology podcast from the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm here with Candace Jones. So Candace, Eric Kulwani has replaced Ismail Vardy as the new chairman of the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Communications. I know Ismail Vardy was highly regarded in that position and will be missed. Vardy's, of course, gone off to head up the, will become the new MEC for Roads and Transport in Gauteng. What do we know about Eric Kulwani?
Well, not very much at the moment, other than he was the ANC, one of the ANC whips, and has been on the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee for quite some time. Of what I've seen of him and his discussions held in Parliament and during the Portfolio Committee meetings, he seems pretty level-headed and well-rounded. Obviously, only time will tell over whether or not he will be able to maintain the same integrity and fire as Ismail Vardy. But hopefully he will, and you know, we'll give him a good chance to do that.
Let's watch the space. I mean, there's been no immediate suggestions from anyone that he's not a good choice. So at first glance, it appears this isn't a bad decision. But let's find out a bit more about him and keep an eye on the way he chairs the committee. But certainly Vardy will be missed in Parliament, and welcome to Gauteng, I suspect.
Absolutely, especially for roads. I think they're winning there.
yes. Now, talking about competition issues, you've been following the news this week that Telkom may face additional charges related to alleged abuse of its monopoly position in the market. There was a statement from the Competition Commission or the Competition Tribunal this week regarding the issue. Just tell us a bit more about what's happening there.
Well, indeed, there was a statement from the Competition Tribunal. They will be today hearing a case presented by the Competition Commission, who is hoping to add charges to at least one of two cases that Telkom is facing in terms of competition abuse. Alleged competition abuse. The first one that they're facing is one that started many, many, many years ago and lodged by what were then called the value-added network service providers. Of course, in 2009, the VANs were converted to full licensees and were able to then operate as full telcos, much like Telkom, MTN, Vodacom, and Cell C. But the actual case is a case of anti-competitive behaviour on the part of allegedly on the part of Telkom. But the Competition Commission now wants to add charges to that, saying that Telkom may have also been squeezing the margins of its competitors to keep them smaller and less competitive in the business. Telkom's obviously fighting the accusation, saying that it's a new allegation and shouldn't be added to an old complaint. looking obviously to either have it squashed or to have it in a separate hearing, or at least in a separate complaint. But Telkom has been fighting these issues, these competition issues, for a very long time, and has tried everything in the book to have it stopped, the latest being recently when it called on the other competition issue to be squashed, which is the internet service providers, some internet service providers who have lodged a complaint against Telkom, saying that they've abused their access to or their ownership of SAT3 and not given competitively priced access to the international undersea cable, which at the time was the only one available to us for international access. So both those cases at the moment, Telkom stands to face charges of up to 7 billion rand.
Yes, of course, that's 10% of the company's turnover in the year of the alleged infraction.
Both of them, yes. The one is amounts to about 3.7, and the other one 3.3.
That's right. Of course, those amounts, the 10% figure is never really imposed, so Telkom won't be looking at an amount of 7 billion rand fine, but it could still be a significant amount.
Is one of the first telecoms operators to be recommended the full fine of 10%. So it's quite an interesting situation at the moment.
What I don't like about the Telkom situation is that many of these abuses occurred when their foreign equity partner, Santana, was still an investor. The SBCs, now AT&T and Telecom Malaysia companies that we're investing here. And the SBC guys in particular were particularly aggressive about enforcing Telkom's monopoly. And those investors have since left. And now Telkom is facing these big potential fines. And the companies, the foreign investors who were really pushing a lot of this anti-competitive or alleged anti-competitive behavior are no longer shareholders and are no longer going to face these fines, which I personally find a little problematic.
That does seem a little bit unfair, especially since Telkom is now facing very heavy competition and sort of floundering in the face of it.
Yes, absolutely.
I think these kinds of fines would really cripple Telkom quite heavily.
They wouldn't be good news at all. And maybe I don't know if there is a solution to this. There probably is no solution. They probably can't go after Santana for any alleged anti-competitive behaviour in the past, but it would have been nice to see them perhaps not get off scot-free.
It would have, yes, absolutely.
Speaking of competition in the telecommunications industry, a story we broke on Tech Central this week regarding Teraco Data Environments, the data centre vendor neutral data centre operators. Not associated vendor neutral, they mean they're not owned by one of the big telco operators. They're really going great guns, doing very well indeed, and they're going to be expanding, building new data centers. It's already known that they're building a data center in Durban. They're about to sign the lease there, probably to build a data center in the Mshlanga area, which is the new sort of CBD boom area in Durban, just north of the city center. And they're going to build a new facility in Cape Town, probably in Pinelands. And they're also expanding their Isando facility near the OR Tambo International Airport in Johannesburg. They're going to be taking that from the initial 1,250 square meters and expanding it right up to 4,600 square meters. So this is really becoming quite a big data center now. And chatting to the managing director of Teraco this week, Lex van Wyk, he said that this demand is being driven in quite a large part by demand for cloud computing. Corporates finally realizing that they don't want to necessarily host all their applications and processing in-house, and there seems to be growing demand in the South African context for putting the stuff in the cloud and from corporate South Africa, and this seems to be driving growth. Really interesting for me is that they're looking to build a second data center in Johannesburg, either 30 kilometers north, so putting it in Centurion, or 30 kilometers south, probably putting it in the Alberton area of their Isando facility, which would then act as a redundant backup and disaster recovery site for the Isando unit. But yeah, Teraco are doing really well, and I think it's quite encouraging that we're seeing this sort of investment in cloud computing and data centers in South Africa.
What's really interesting is that Teraco really has grown from strength to strength since it started. And I think it really took a bit of the wind out of the sails of the big operators who all started building these massive data centers. And while I haven't caught up with them for a while on the success of these data centers, when Teraco first started filling them up and announcing, expansions, the others were battling to get customers in. And I think as you say, being vendor neutral, having you can choose which capacity you want to host your stuff on, it has really given them an advantage in that space, and that, and they're really just doing well. And it's fantastic to see, actually.
They're their facility in Isanda is actually quite interesting. I was out there a couple of months ago. They're in a really kind of rundown part of Johannesburg, sort of warehouse district. I mean, I shouldn't say rundown. I mean, it's not a slum, but it's not Sandton. And you walk along the street there, and you see all these manhole covers. And every few meters is a manhole cover. The first one says Neotel, the next one says Telkom, the next one says MTN, the next one says Vodacom. And this is all fiber coming from all these operators and terminating at the Teraco facility. Infraco, of course, also has its own fiber coming into the Isanda facility. But you walk along that street there, and you can't hear anything, but you can almost imagine the humming of massive, massive amounts of data running under the street there. You know, if I was running an extremely high bandwidth intensive business, I'd probably buy a property across the road from this facility and make that my head office. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if we start to see a bit of a boom happening around that facility just because of the amount of capacity that's running down the streets there.
Wouldn't be surprised at all.
In fact, in the US, we saw that during the dot-com boom, the big internet junction points in the US. We saw quite a few dot-com startups actually deliberately selecting those places and leasing their offices right on top of these junction points because they've got access to such incredibly good bandwidth at good prices.
Huh. Great news.
Yes.
With any luck, it'll happen as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Perhaps we should start thinking about moving, Duncan.
yeah, we've got to move on. It's half an hour to the show, and we always try and keep it under 30 minutes. But before we sign off, just a reminder, this Tuesday we're running the introductory Tech Central Tuesday Tipple. We're doing it at the Brazen Head Pub in Bryanston, north of Sandton. We're actually very full at the moment. In fact, we shouldn't be accepting any more RSVPs. But if you're keen and you're listening to the podcast, just mention you heard it on the show and we'll sneak you in. You can email info@techcentral.co.za to RSVP for that. And you stand a chance of winning an iPhone 4 smartphone courtesy of MTN and one of five speed sticks from Cell C loaded with 60 gigabytes or 60 gigabytes of data for a year or 5 gigabytes a month of Cell C bandwidth. So great prizes, and it should be a great evening of chatting to your peers and just generally geeking out with us here from Tech Central. So we look forward to meeting you at that event. As always, if there's any feedback on the show, please feel free to welcome us at info@techcentral.co.za. And I'd like to just give a shout out to veteran podcaster Glenn Varan, who mailed us this week with some ideas on the show and some feedback. And Glenn, thanks very much for that. It's really appreciated. We really appreciate your help in making the show better and helping us out with some of the audio tips and tricks that you are so well versed in. So thanks for that, Glenn. As I said, that's all the time we have for this week. Thanks again for listening to Talk Central, and keep an eye on techcentral.co.za for all the latest technology news and opinion. From myself and Candace, have a great week, and we'll chat to you next week. Bye-bye.